That was pretty weak.
Your little T-Rex arms just couldn't muster up the force to good. Yeah. And thank you, Wintergreen.
May he rest in peace.
Yes.
Even though he's not dead.
But you still, it's hurtful, it's tasteless, but it's a joke that you just love to make, so I'm not going to stop you.
It's true.
Till one day, he is dead, and then...
Then I'll actually be like, I never appreciated him.
Oh my god. Just like Gene Wilder and...
Arnold Palmer,
yeah.
That's timely.
That is. Again, a mean-spirited and not good taste, but...
Oh, I'm sure this will all get cut out.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 61st episode of Dead Zone, the podcast, for October 2016. In this episode, we look at the new Kickstarter from Mantic called Star Saga. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/C/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode. Welcome to episode 61 of Dead Zone, the podcast, for October 2016. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we're back. We are back. And we got lots of news. This is going to be a long one, I think. There's lots of stuff going on.
Yes. It seems like we're in a deluge of Mantic-based news.
Yes. Deluge. So we'll get right into it with the news.
News.
Yes. And the first news is that they finally announced the Nexus Sai expansion for Dead Zone. We've known it's in the works for a long time. And now it's here for pre-order. Do you have anything to say about it?
Well, I'm looking at it right now, and it's got a new campaign book, and it's got some solo play rules, which I think could be interesting. It just comes with...
more zombies.
Some zombies and some terrain.
And the new exclusive... Only available in this package, Dr. Simmons, the new version.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we'll probably have to get this just for her.
I don't think so.
More terrain, though. Actually, I really like how they built up their terrain, like to show what they could do with it. That looks really cool. Like if I was going to get this, I might actually do exactly what they would do in that picture, because that's a neat little fortified wall kind of section they built.
And it looks kind of gate-like because it has two L-shaped pieces going into the... In a perfect world, you could build that same little, looks like a security checkpoint.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it a lot. And we've talked about the new Dr. Simmons in the last episode, I believe. And she's cool. And more zombies. They're really pushing these zombies. They must have just, like, lots and lots of zombies laying around.
Yeah, I think we have plenty.
We have plenty.
But I think... I think the new sweetness is if you're building any kind of strike force or army for any of the Mantic games, what used to be the base troop, the Type 3, I think now is swinging towards everyone basically having zombies in their plague army.
Yeah. But we love dogs.
We do. And I think I've played with some zombies rarely.
Well, you brought that one time, person who made zombies, but I don't know if you actually started. Yeah, you did. You did start with zombies because I remember they killed a Terraton.
Yeah.
They hoarded up on a Terraton.
That was beta rules early on, and they were a little on the... They certainly aren't that powerful anymore.
Yeah, they fixed them with the FAQ. And speaking of the plague, though, they finally announced what's in the plague booster and starter packs that we discussed before, all about them. This is the one we couldn't discuss. And the Plague Starter has a 1A, of course, the big-ass general. It has six 2As, two of each pose, which is good. There's three poses in all. Two sprues of Plague Zombies, because once again, plague zombies everywhere. And two new sprues of the three A's, which include a dog on each sprue. So you get a couple dogs. There's one, one of the three A's, he looks like he's, a 50s biker punk. He's got like one of those flat top hats, and do you see him on the side there?
It looks like if Rob Helford,
zombified,
perhaps was bitten. And, yeah.
They look nice. Like, this picture really shows them off, all the different ways you can build them. They look really cool.
Well, from the first round of models, from that first starter box, the Type 3s were the weak sculpt.
Yeah.
And that's not, that has been rectified now. These look more in line with what the rest of the plague aesthetic is.
And I do like the dogs, but the new dogs, they got some options. You have head options, and so you can make a bunch of different looking dogs. We'll be getting a lot of these in the Warpath Kickstarter, so we'll be able to play with them. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then the booster comes with a sprue of 3As again. I think that's 5 3As. A sprue of 3Zs, which is 5 Zs, the zombies. A Plague Teraton, Plague Aberration, the big guy. And Plague Swarm, always important. And the Plague Mortar Team, which is pretty important too. And it's got pointy McPoints a lot with the Plague Mortar Team.
Yes.
And that's a nice booster. Like, compared to everything else, this is a nice starter and booster. Maybe it's just the Plague the way they are, but this gives you pretty much everything you need in those two things.
Yeah, for my money, if I wanted to make an army and it was just a strike zone, this booster, you'd never need anything else. You could play this for days and days to come. It's got reach out and touch someone. It's got troops for a close hand to hand. It's got some speed. It's got some tanks. But
not enough dogs.
But you know what? The aberration is something that we didn't have, way back in our day when we were walking uphill.
In our day.
When we were playing Dead Zone uphill both ways.
That's an apt description, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Cool. Does your Teraton have pants? I don't remember seeing pants on a Teraton before.
I think, because he's got a whole bunch of armor and clothing and stuff that's half in and half, like, the plagueness has gone up and around it.
Yeah.
I think it's just the way you paint the pants.
He looks funny. He's got pants on.
He's got the Teraton dong, remember?
That was a thing. Go back to episode 4 or whatever it was.
Yeah, before we learned that was a woman.
Yes, that's true. We didn't know that the big Teratons were female.
Yeah.
And we also have some great shots of the Veerman Tunnelers they've released some shots of. They have ones with it coming through a wall, like it just burst through. With its little drills out, and then another one with the front open showing the gun, and it's actually next to the Halter half track, so we can finally see the scale of that thing too with the models all around it. And it looks big. It's a lot bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah, because you can, since you can tell that the one that's coming out of the wall, all of those squares are 3 inches because mm-hmm. that's just the way it is. So it's literally bigger than 3 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's no question. But I like the little rat swarms they've got in that picture. It's showing the Veerman like giving a nice little perusal of the way they look. I like it.
Yep. And then the other one with the front open, gun shooting, with a halter half track. That's cool. It's nice to see these shots with scale on boards with nice scenery. They're not just on the white background. It's nice to see them actually on boards, which I like a lot.
Yeah, because even though it's a diorama effect, like they're not playing Dead Zone. They're not playing Warpath there. It's still like a picture's worth a thousand words, and you can look and go, oh, yeah, no, I like that right away.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still not a fan of the color they paint the Forge Fathers, that beigeish, brownish color. I like the metallic so much better.
Well, You know, the paint jobs that they've done have changed through the years. And sometimes, you know, some of the artists take liberties one way or the other. Like, remember, we started seeing a lot of the Forge Father stuff, like, rusted and dirty and pitted and stuff.
Yeah, now they're a lot more clean.
Yeah, these ones look pretty pristine, pretty snaz.
Yeah, it's the Veerman's turn to be all rusted up.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's some news, some interesting stuff. And there's going to be more news in our main topic, because we're going to be talking about the Star Saga Kickstarter, which started today that we are recording, so probably a week ago when you're going to hear this, or thereabouts. And we'll talk about that, and what's up with that, and how it connects to Dead Zone, and how it looks awesome.
But first, an ad from Mantic.
That is correct.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone podcast with your hosts Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hi, this is Pat, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And thank you, Wintergreen, for bringing us back from that Mantic ad that is beloved by one and all.
Anyways, it's Star Saga, the successor to Dungeon Saga, but in space. Makes sense. And it's going to be obviously in the Warpath universe. It's got Blaine as the main man. He's bringing together some mercenaries to invade some places to get some stuff, I guess.
Yeah, apparently some biological thing was stolen, and the council has said that they need nothing but the best. So they need a crack team to go in there and retrieve it, and Blaine apparently has the rep and the means to do it, so...
Yep, he's bringing his crack team. And it's going to have streamlined rules compared to Dungeon Saga, with like direct roll-offs for the like attacks and stuff. So it's almost like Dead Zone, but it's D6, unfortunately. I wish it was D8, but they're going to do specialty D6s, which I'm sure is a cost thing. Imagine specialty D8s. I'm sure that would cost an arm and a leg. So specialty D6s for the rolls, which is interesting. They're going to have cover mechanic, which Dungeon Saga doesn't have, which is kind of interesting. And the Overlord character, which is going to be called Nexus, it's usually the DM kind of guy. But you can also, in this, it's going to have AI rules built in. So right from the start, you can play co-op or solo, which is the way they should have done it for Dungeon Saga. And hopefully they'll have improved the way the AI works. That was one thing in Dungeon Saga that was kind of clunky. And in Dead Zone, true. It's so hard to do AI, but hopefully they've learned from all their past attempts, and we get some slick AI at least that works in this one.
Yeah.
So there is the pledge of $100. There's only one pledge. Gets you the game, gets you a character creation expansion, and a mission creator expansion, which is kind of cool. You can make your own missions, make your own characters. And want to go through everything that's available in this thing?
How in depth do you want to go?
Well, we're just, you know, just say maybe the characters and stuff and what you get. I don't think we have to go into all the different descriptions of every single character. You can go on the Star Saga Kickstarter page if you want to know all the in-depth deets. But, what are the main mercenaries here, Jack?
We have five new mercenaries. They're new original sculpts. We have a Captain Delinsky, a female with some sort of weapon, a Corporation Ranger, which I like the looks of the Corporation guys anyways, and this is just another example. It's got a very, Space Marines type aesthetic. We have Kirby the Robot, who looks like Claptrap and Eva mated, which... unfortunately, brings to mind the a mental image of Wall-E just standing in a corner weeping.
Oh.
Then we have Wrath, which considering what the fictional tales of his mindset is, I don't think if I were sending someone that perhaps on a very special mission or to retrieve something very expensive or fragile, he would not be on my he would not be my top 10 list. But here he is, a new sculpt of him with the sword and the flowing cape. And then last but not least, a plague victim.
Yeah, some of these aren't the mercenaries. So the Corporation Ranger and the plague victim are, I think, going to be enemies in the game. They're going to be more people you're fighting. Because they have Silvaggio is from short story Best Laid Plans from the... I think Coach voiced him in our adaptation. He's one of the mercenaries. And a new one, she's a vampire doctor... alien vampire doctor named Elise. I think her name's Elise. Is that how you say it? Those are the five mercs.
Oh.
And then you get things like lab technicians and what do we got? Security guards and different marines. It looks like the marines and security guards and lab technicians are guys you're fighting, and then eventually a plague breaks out because then you got some plague guys.
Yeah. It seems to be that's the... progression here. You've got guards, then you've got some corporation soldiers, and then plague victims. So it's probably how it scales up.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like that. And they're going to do, if they make the stretch goals, you're going to do alternate sculpts of everything. So you're going to have two of each type of these minions, they're calling them, the bad guys you're fighting. And then there's also the main bad guys. They've got some enemies, like the what do they call them? This the big bosses, kind of.
Yeah, they are calling them bosses and minions in the that's how they're kind of like.
Yeah, I think that comes from Dungeon Saga, but that's Dr. Lucas Coiner. Looks like a Doc Ock, really, in a lab suit. He's got those arms like Dr. Octopus, and a Chovar named Organic Data Storage Unit X02A, and a Guard Commander Graves. Looks like he's a one of the minions.
He looks like a guard captain or something.
Just the next step up from the guards. Like you say, it's like a progression. I think he'll be the leader of the guards.
But the Chovar, I like the sculpt. I know Coach hates it, but I like that sculpt. It's very, very interesting, and I liked painting it. So having another one.
A crazy one with all these things strapped to him.
Yeah.
As I think Tyler, in his preview video, called it a deranged USB stick.
Oh.
And there's lots of concepts of pictures. We got a great picture of Kirby with his face shield. And I guess is it Claptrap that it has like the emoticons on his face and stuff?
Or no.
That's from Moon. Remember the movie Moon?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Kevin Spacey voiced the...
Yeah. So you could do that. They said that where that blue dot is on the concept art, that's like a screen. So you could put emoticons and stuff. So you can make them with a big smiley face emoticon, and that'd be cool. Try to get that black-green color for the background with like the bright yellow for the... That'd be kind of neat to try to do. Doing a white, like pearlescent white for the body, that'd be an interesting challenge. And the letters on the side, you have to freehand some...
Yeah.
He'll be fun to paint, I think. And then Silvaggio, his face is all scarred up, but that'd be fun too. I never pictured him like that when we did the recording, but he's a lot skeevier than he seemed.
he's sketchy, all right.
Cool, though. Like, once again, great concepts. Then we got the Captain Erica Dolinsky. She just looks like a tough woman.
It looks like she was the one who fell asleep first at the party.
She does have some paint on her face. Here's a shot of that Elise character.
That is interesting. Like, if they're introducing that race, if that's like a vampiric race.
Yeah, KO1, it looks like their names are.
Keep building, make the universe feel lived in and expansive, and that's how you do it. You bring out a couple more races.
Yep, it's a lot of races in this universe, so it's great. They also previewed, coming up, there's going to be a new Enforcer. Enforcer ES-435, codenamed Monarch. He looks like a tougher version of Master Chief, almost. Like, he's solid. He actually reminds me of Robotech, the bike guys in Robotech. Do you remember those guys?
Yeah, and also a little bit of Samus.
What's that? Metroid.
Yeah, there's a lot of little... the armor, you know, kind of lends itself to certain, like, jumps in mental...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. And then we got a shot of Wrath, the new version of Wrath. And he's got green and browns and golds. So he looks much more interesting. He used to have guns, I think, in the original sculpt.
Yes. Yes.
But in the short story, he was all about his sword, so it's kind of neat that they finally sculpted him with a sword.
Right. He wasn't above using a gun, but
no.
In the story, it was all about that special sword. I think it's like a...
Yeah, it's like a...
heirloom of some sort.
Yeah, it was a special sword. And he's nuts.
He's a crazy man.
And then we got some previews of characters that haven't been named yet. We got a Forge Father Tinkerer, it looks like. He's got like an arm coming off his back and something on his arm. He's a interesting Forge Father. Almost like a mix between a Brocker and a regular Forge Father, because he's kind of skins, a lot of skin showing, but he's also armored up.
Yeah, like a... Were the mercenaries a little bit of a hybrid between the two?
Well, I think the only mercenary Forge Father is... Well, they got the Hellfather, which is all armored up. And then there's that girl, Freya.
Yeah, my mistake. I said mercenary. I meant
militia.
Militia.
Yes, that's maybe. Yeah, it's more like the militia. You're right. Yep.
I misspoke.
Yes, that's what confused me.
I'm so sorry.
And lastly, we got a Terraton, and she's got a data pad and a gun. And it's a cool looking gun, actually. I like that gun. More Terratons. Hopefully, it's a male Terraton, so it's smaller. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, obviously, with the concept art, you can't tell the scale, but. It's interesting that they have that sexual dimorphism that they kind of put into the fluff, and thus far they haven't really monopolized on it. So it'd be interesting if, you know.
Yeah, other than Dreadball. In Dreadball, you get the males on the team, and they're smaller. But yeah, in Dead Zone, I think they've all been females so far. I'm not sure about that new one that you painted up there. I haven't really seen him compared to the other Terratons, but I think he is slightly smaller, but I'm not sure if he's male or female. I always say he, but they.
The Shock Trooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I misspoke again. He might be smaller.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't ever think we've ever put him next to the other one, so I'm not sure.
That is true. We have not ever used him.
Well, you just painted him, so.
Yes, now he's ready for the table now. He won't go bare necked. We can't put him on the table bare necked, so.
And we have to thank Mike Carter and his blog called Until Someone Loses an Eye. And the link to that will be in the show notes. Because a lot of these pictures and info he put up there even before the Kickstarter started. So we got a lot of the info from him. So it's a great blog. Check out. He's a Pathfinder in, I think he's in Ohio or Chicago area, somewhere in there. So yeah, check out his blog. And that's a good preview of this Yold Kickstarter, I think. Right now, as the time of recording, they're at 162, which has gone up 2,000 since we started this recording. So obviously it's going to be a huge number by the time this comes out.
And considering what was the goal?
100,000.
And where are they now?
162. They got 100,000 in 2 hours. It slowed down a bit now because that first initial wave of early birds, that went up quick. But they're up to, 1,500 backers as we speak. So this one's going to be a big one. I think a lot of people are excited for this one.
Now, who the hell has nothing better to do than to wait, just poised at the keyboard, just bursting at the seams to be an early bird? Like, come on.
It's true. It's not like me and Coach, and I'm sure a bunch of other people didn't wake up at 8:30 a.m. on a Monday morning, Eastern Daylight Time, to get to save $10 on a Kickstarter.
In what I can only imagine was a coordinated attack a swarming that was well rehearsed.
It was good. We got him early. I think that I was about 200th in, and I literally did it. Like, I refresh, and it popped up, and I was the 200th person to get one. So that's how fast those were going.
Nice.
Well, we'll take another break here. When we come back, we got some more to talk about. We got some shout-outs, and I think we have some stuff that we've actually done. Sound good?
Sounds fantastic. I cannot wait. In fact, you know what? We don't need a strike zone ad here. We just skip it.
Too late!
What?
It's starting as we speak.
It's time to enter the strike zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. It is shout-outs time.
And welcome back. That was a delightful ad for the Strike Zone. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. The mere thought of skipping it would, just sickens me. So I'm glad we didn't.
It's true.
It is true.
Jack's falling into line.
What's next?
Shout-outs. And our first shout out is to our regular contributor now, Douglas Thoyne. He gave us a picture of his. He painted up some of the barrels and what are those things called? Canisters, I guess.
Yeah, they're barrels, or he's got them painted up there like they're like bombs
or nuclear disposal items. Look at it, he's used your cape, your favorite cape, on the side of that one barrel.
Yep.
And I don't know what those guns are from. They look like G.I. Joe guns.
He's got on some of the boxes, the rockets that come with the Strider.
Yeah. It's a nice little set. It's good to see the accessory sprues being used.
I really like the bombs, though.
Yeah, it's neat to do.
The symbol on the front and the, yeah.
All corroded, like they're gonna just spill their contents everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, we thank Douglas for sending in. If anybody else wants to send it in, please do contact us with some pictures. We do enjoy looking at them.
Yes. Thank you, Dougie. We appreciate it.
Dougie. Is that like Dougie Gilmore? Anyways, the next person is Kevin Riddle.
Usually you chastise me for getting a little too forward. You're always like, what?
I was going to be like, Doogie, was it from that commercial?
Let's enlighten everyone in a little bit of Canadiana about our hockey players and calling them Dougie.
Yep, it's true. Kevin Riddle sent it in a lot of house rules he's been thinking out. But before we mention that, he actually found Jack online.
Yes.
Of course, it was all like at least 10 to 15 years old stuff, but still.
Yeah. Like, well, he found my father, and he found some older stuff, which.
From a job you worked at when you were like 19.
Yes, but it is a security breach nonetheless, and I will have to scrub that.
It's been erased from the internet as we speak.
Yes.
Yeah, some of it was your father. That's true.
And but, some of it was just stuff that you would put my name
before. Yeah, the Vinland Old Time Radio stuff. It's like, no, that was me. That was just me saying Jack was a co-author.
But quite frankly, I don't want to poke the bear anymore. I've been stalked now. Kevin, I suspect, got a little too close. He was like Angelina Jolie in a 90s movie.
Really?
Hunched over the key. What? That's not the mental image you get when you...
Stalkers? No.
Hackers?
Oh, hackers, not stalkers. I get it. I understand where you're going now.
Ah, see.
Hackers. Excuse me. I'll be right back.
You'll be in your bunk.
Anyways, he did send us a bunch of house rules.
Yes, yes. Let's get away from the seedy underbelly of my privacy being violated and get on to some Dead Zone related topics.
He said for the Enforcer Defenders, his idea is that he thinks they're too cool just to have only one. You're only allowed to bring one shield. And maybe you should raise the points and affect their movement, but let more people have them. Or make it so it's additional dice to survive instead of just adding armor. I do like the shields a lot. And yeah, they should be, I think, a little bit more useful.
Now,
right now they give plus one armor.
Yeah. So make them a little worse, but make them more available so that you can model them.
Or have a downside to them or something. Like he says, maybe you can't use certain weapons because it needs two hands. And
The other option is model them that way, but
just say they don't actually have the shield.
They don't have the shield, but they just look dapper.
Yeah.
But that could be distracting, and it could be
misconstrued.
Cause for concern if you do have one with the shield in there. Yeah, I can feel his pain.
Yeah, because they are cool. Because the moment we put the shield on the guys and they have their guns sticking out, they look awesome. So you should be able to have more. I agree.
I agree, too.
He also said that you should be able to run people over with vehicles. We've always said this. And it's a 3-dice test, but additional dice for each square move. That's kind of a neat idea. So they get some speed up before they hit somebody. That's kind of fun.
Oh, so like the faster they're going, the more damage that...
Yeah, they add dice to their side. So if they were like... You know, their movement's like 2-4, so they go 4. So you get 7 dice because you went 4 to smash into somebody.
So if you're on the monowheel and you move 2 spaces and you're just like, ow, my foot.
Yeah, see, the monowheel, monowheel's barely a vehicle. I'm thinking more like the jet bikes or...
Well, that's where I'm going. I'm starting with like the monowheel. Yeah. And you get to the jet bike and you get up, you know, a good like swat. Oh, ow, that really hurt. Like my epiglottis has been bruised. And then you move up to, say...
A tank.
Tank.
Well, a tank wouldn't go very far, but at least it would just crush him.
Okay, a hornet skimming the surface.
Just taking people's heads off. Oh. Hornets. Duck and cover. And the energy shield he's talking about, he says it's... should have fail points instead of just blowing up with one fail. So a shield with 3, you roll 1, too many ones, it goes down to 2, etc. That's a good idea, because blowing totally up at every time you have a 3, or a 1, I mean.
That shield, I think we've discussed it in previous episodes. It's fun, it's an interesting idea. There's just something to it that's just not, it's not perfect yet. We had discussed, I think, that a shield, no matter how big it was, if you had it on a guy who was a 3 pips or a 1, it had the same effect, and it was some other stuff that...
It didn't matter how much damage was done to it, it would still just explode, and it was actually worse the more damage got through. The less damage you got through, the more chance it would explode, which doesn't make sense. It should be the other way around.
Yeah, so there's still... It needs a...
Little twerk.
What?
Twerking.
Okay.
Next one is vehicles shouldn't be pinned. Covered vehicles. That was our idea. He says he agrees with Coach. That was our idea first. But anyways, it's true. Coach was just more vocal about it. He was getting mad about the pinned vehicles, but...
Yes, that I will state unequivocally that we said that first.
But it's true. He thinks that items should always stay hidden. Even when you loot them, don't show the other what people have until scoring comes around, if it's intel and stuff like that. I'm not sure how it's supposed to be in the book. We always just show them, but it might be in the book that it's hidden, but I don't know. It'd make it more interesting. That's for sure. All of a sudden you're just popping up. Oh, I had this intel the whole time, you know, like.
Yeah. And also if you, you know, your guy's killed and you just put it back down and then.
Nobody knows what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. The other person doesn't know what it is. So if that guy's beelining back for it, you're like, hey, what? You don't need a smoke grenade that bad, dude. What's going on over there?
Yeah. It's,
it makes sense. It's very much,
Items are a hard thing because it's you know, I don't know. It makes sense that, yeah, if it's nobody else would know what it is, only the person who looked at it, right?
Right.
So, and then maybe they'd radio back to their buddies what it was. But
and if you're playing with some good, you know, some good trustworthy people and you're like, okay, well, you know, I got this thing, and you don't have to always be monitoring what they're up to. It adds a little bit of flavor.
Yeah.
A little bit of surprise.
Yeah, surprise is always a good thing. Next one is zombies should be beasts, so no taking items or objectives, but can look at items. I think they should still be able to take objectives, but just not use items.
Even
looking at items, because they, what are they, you know, they wouldn't be able to report back, because all they'd be like, what's in that box? No, what's in the box? It's to one grunt for it's a grenade, two grunts if it's intel. It's like, oh.
Well, he grunted three times. So that means Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Oh, no. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Yeah, so it's one of those things. Zombies are... It matters how intelligent these zombies are, I guess. I see them as not intelligent at all, but...
My only thing is that with objectives are kind of a ethereal thing in Dead Zone. It's a kind of like... no one wants to pin it down to specifics. Like, in my mind, the objectives are like fallen soldiers that have critical, you know, information on them, or pieces of machinery that need to be hacked or something like that. And in that way, I can see why zombies wouldn't have the wherewithal to go and, you know, remove the hyperdrive from the whatever.
Yeah.
But it's such a like a non-specific thing in Dead Zone. It's more of a, okay, it's a thing. Let's move on. Like
Standing here. This is, it's worth points. That's it. Yeah. Sometimes in this scenario, especially with the scenarios that other people have made, they explain what the objective is. I've noticed that with Pat scenarios. Every time Pat does a scenario, he always says what the objective is. You're going to get this. You're going to hack into a terminal. You're, you know. And I think they should always do that to explain what the objective is. But then, you just can't have zombies messing with computers.
So until such time as objectives are really under a microscope and Mantic decides one way or the other, they don't have to. The way it is right now, it kind of leaves it, you know.
Open up to interpretation.
Yeah, pickup games are simple. You don't need to think, why can a Teraton operate a Yindyzh, you know, piece of machinery that's supposed to turn on a gantry that moves over. Like, you don't need to think about all the specifics. So,
it's true. Zombies. Bane of all existence.
Zombies.
He says he likes Coach's deployment zone to add extra cubes for all units. And,
Well, obviously, that is the only way to do it.
Yeah, like, that was just it's like... There's nothing more to be said about that one. That'll be in the next FAQ, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I think it was it. No, it wasn't in the last one.
Kevin. Next, tell us that the sun is the big yellow thing in the sky and water's wet.
He also says that he thinks that pistols should be able to use in a fight, which I kind of agree. You should have some what's that movie with the gun foo with Christian Bale? Oh, what movie was that? Equilibrium.
Empire.
No, Equilibrium. And. So you could choose a shoot stat instead of a fight stat, and that'd be kind of cool. I think you should be able to shoot people point blank. Also, you get the extra dice because you have a clear shot because you're standing right next to the guy. You do have a pistol.
Well, you could pistol whip them too.
That too, but then would that be fight, not shoot, right?
Yeah,
you got to pull the trigger for it to be a shoot action. And. This one, I'm not sure what he means by it. He says VPs added by number of models in the cube. And I think he means that, so VPs are kind of more random. So when you kill something and there's like three other guys in the cube, you get extra VPs because you actually were able to kill someone with all these other guys there. That would make games a lot less predictable, because it could be, you might purposely get a lot of guys in the cube and have one of your really good fighters go in there to get lots of extra points, you know? It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, if that's what he meant by that, VP added by number of models in the cube.
I think that's what he means.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, a little bit of clarification there. Like, all your other things are, like, spot on. We're on the same page. That one, I just don't understand what you're trying to say. So I'd be interested to, like, just a couple more, you know, couple little, maybe a PowerPoint presentation or a feature-length video.
Yeah, a dissertation on what you mean.
Yeah.
Next one is, I'm not sure I like this one because it would really complicate things, and I think there could be ways you could use this to abuse the rules, is that you can move into a square with too many models to fight, but somebody or another one of your models has to move out. I think that would be, you could really do some shenanigans with that, where people are getting extra moves because you purposely moved a guy in, but you're just moving the guy over, or pulling people out of fights that shouldn't be able to pull out of fights. And
well, like, it would be a free breakaway. And you think, okay, well, that's kind of broken. But when you think, okay, it's a free breakaway, but that guy's now moved. He can move sideways into another square and have a free attack on.
Yeah.
Now he's charging over.
I think it would just be, it would be really dynamic and interesting. But I think it would just, you could really break, like, if you're just playing some fun games, that'd be kind of fun to try. But I think in, like, competitive games, you could really break the game.
Yeah, it could equal up a lot of movement. When you have, say, a horde army with zombies or something, and they're just
moving all over the place, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'd also get the plus one for moving in. So, when you're fighting my Strider, if you could have done that, you would have really destroyed me a lot quicker. Because you'd get an extra move and moving guys out, and then moving them back in and moving another guy out. It would just be constant guys just rushing in on me. As it was, I was like, okay, at least there's four guys, and nobody else can charge me at this point.
That it does seem like that's it's like, thankfully there's a space quotient sometimes, like,
yeah,
well, you've used it to block doorways. You just park guys in front of a doorway and go, oh, yeah, can't come in.
Yeah.
There's only so much room in this square, and if you just even just try and overwhelm you, well, you can only fit four more guys in here.
Yeah. As long as my guy can stop these four guys, you're not moving anybody through this doorway.
Yep.
Yeah. Next one, he thought of a special splat for Sergeant Howlett. Howlett, who we've been promised to have some splats and leadership rules, but is yet to emerge. We're hoping he eventually shows up sometime. But he has this first Howlett. It's Bloodlust. So if a fight occurs resulting in an opposing model's death, then you spend a special splat to move a model into an additional enemy-occupied square with a plus one added for normal move bonus. So you get plus one for moving and plus one for Bloodlust. So you get plus two for moving in. And you can only use the splat once per activation turn. So that's, at least you can only use it once. But that's kind of cool, where he kills or somebody gets killed and then he can use a splat. So everybody gets rampagey and starts going crazy, charging in on other people. That's kind of fun.
That is kind of fun. It's like a free move dice, except for it's got that extra
plus one damage.
Plus the Bloodlust, yeah.
Yeah, I like that, actually.
If you're running a combat enforcer...
assault enforcer?
assault enforcer team with a Howlett.
And it might actually make them... No, they'd still suck.
I just painted up all the enforcers that I got, and I made them all assault enforcers.
Well, you have a bunch of models that will never get used.
Oh, you know what? When Mantic realizes, they're going to look over and go, oh my God, we made a mistake.
So you're future-proofing your team?
You and Coach and everyone else will be pulling little arms off and gluing and doing whatever, and I'll just go, ta-da!
It's true. Future-proofing.
Only a matter of time. Within the next 6 months, there'll be a
fix? You have more confidence in them than I do.
And you and Coach will be there with little pliers and glue and... Yeah.
And next one is the spotter ability should be back. Did we ever talk about this on the podcast? Because we've said this lots of times to each other, but I'm not sure if we ever mentioned this on the podcast.
That's a good question.
Because if not, he's on our wavelength, because we agree 100% spotters should be back, and it should be like tag.
Yeah, yeah. Spotters. And you don't need to change it because it used to be called spotter. You don't need to go, oh, we took away spotter, so let's call it Peeping Tom or Looky Lou or
Lucky Lou.
Hey over there or some nonsense.
Solid Spotter. Spotter. Yeah.
You had models that had big goggles, models with binocular, models pointing. There's a ton of models pointing. Just give them, bring it back.
Yeah.
We had to have talked about it before, but if not, if it didn't make it to the podcast, Kevin, you're right.
Yeah, for sure. He said, Rebs need more troops. Yep. Listen to team building exercise number one, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was. We went on about, probably for a good longer than we should have, about how they do need more troops.
It's got to be the Sorax, but if it's not...
Survey drones?
Yeah, then it would be the drones. That was the secondary.
And on the mentioning of survey drones, he said they should explode when you want instead of on destruction. Do they have the boom ability? I don't know what they have. Do they explode at all?
Survey they have drones? Boom. Yeah.
So you can do it anytime. Boom, you can do anytime. So that's already happens. We've looked that up. Boom, you can make them explode or they can explode when they die. It's your choice. Making them explode, Coach swears that it's not worth it because then you're just losing a model and your enemy gets the points and they don't necessarily, it's, you know, it's a three dice attack or what, a three dice frag or whatever it is. And, you know, you might not do any damage. It's as a last ditch maybe, but it's much better to have somebody kill them and explode, I personally think, because you're going to lose the points anyways and they're going to die anyway. So do they have survey drones at boom? Maybe they don't.
They're just, as of right now, as a specialist, well, go listen to team building exercise number one. I think we probably went into great depth as to why the survey drones are not working right now.
That's true. And he said, lastly, he said he likes the idea of taking multiple mercs, and we do too, and also multiple leaders, which Jack, of course, loves. But just don't stack tactician dice, and only you have to choose at the beginning what your leader is, and that's the one, that's your leader, and that's the one you're using for your splat, that's the one you're using for tactician. The other one just acts as whatever he is. And I agree with that. You just dictate it at the beginning. Just tell your person you're fighting. I don't understand why they took that out. You can only have one leader.
Yeah, it in the betas it was in there, and it was interesting. You designated who your general was, but you could have the other one. And I think you stacked the dice.
You did. At least they never said you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was fun. You
get a lot of dice though. That might be overpowered.
Yeah, well, we kind of the extra cost of an extra guy who, like, for some armies are like the plague,
pretty expensive.
Like,
yeah,
taking the type 3 generals just as bad, like taking someone for the cost of the leader just for the dice. It was one of those things, you know, could pan out, might be worth it. You know, it added a little bit of, you know, a little bit of chaos, but
yeah,
it wasn't meant to be. They kiboshed that probably for streamlining.
Yeah, simplicity's sake. No, yeah,
you know, now you have your one strike force leader and your one. That's it. Everything, keep it simple.
Yep. Well, thank you, Kevin, for sending all that in. If anybody else has any ideas for house rules and things we want to discuss, let us know. And I'm sure in the future you'll hear more about house rules from us because we have things percolating.
Yes, yes. So once we get to Kevin's thesis on VP added by number of models, we'll discuss that as well. We'll revisit that.
Yep. So we'll take one more break. We'll be back and we'll discuss our stuff and close off the show. How's that sound?
Sounds amazing.
Excellent.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
And we're back. Now we're talking about our stuff. And let's talk about your stuff first, Jack. And we promised, I think, last time that we'd talk about the story of Terrain, the epic journey you had building the industrial terrain from Infestation. You want to talk about the industrial terrain and your epic story that we teased last time?
Yeah. So, lo, these many years ago, Rob shows up with a box of terrain. I don't know, where did you find that box?
Oh, well, originally the stuff, you already had tons from Infestation. And then we have a storage unit, and I went in there looking for comic books. And I found this box, and it's full of, like, bits and pieces of terrain. And I was like, ah, well, we have all that industrial stuff to put together. Maybe this will add to it. So I brought that box of terrain to Jack's house.
So we had the Infestation stuff here. And just at the same time, he comes in with a box full of, and it was, I don't know how many accessory sprues.
Yeah, it was because every time you bought a crazy box, you got at least two accessory sprues. It was a lot of accessory sprues. Well, how many accessory sprues? I would say about 10, maybe more.
I don't know, because I started clipping them and segregating them and making it. There was a bag of ladders alone.
Yeah, Jack's collecting ladders.
So the gist of it is, I had this big box of miscellaneous stuff from, like, and it had parts from back when we had, like, the landing pad. You know, a couple of things were left over from that. It was big nonsense. So I built
ramps, lots of ramps.
Yeah. So I built, I didn't use any of the pipes or any of the conveyor belts from Infestation, but I basically built enough to fill a board.
From the Infestation stuff and whatever's left over and that stuff?
Yeah, plus the little knickknacks.
Because there was maybe like four floors or like in that box. It was mostly just ladders and ramps and various things, light posts and barrels. Like there was not much actual useful things in that box.
there were some though. Yeah, what I did was one weekend, I built it all up, made it all basically stackable, interchangeable, and painted them all. And I sent Rob a picture. I really like the fans, the Infestation, the big fans that are like almost the entire. I've seen people put them on the walls instead of, but I put all the ones I did up on the roofs.
Like ventilation.
So yeah, I did a lot of terrain.
Yep, we'll have some pictures. Jack's going to take a bunch of pictures, and we'll put those up on the website. And is there anything else you did?
Last weekend, you may have heard that I had purchased a taster box.
Yep.
So, I segregated the stuff that I'm making Rob put together. That's all.
So, like one sprue, not much, right?
Rip roaring, ready to go. Oh, it's quite a bit. So I put together the Dwarf Steel Warriors.
Oh yeah.
I put together the Enforcers. I put together a Sorak.
Just cuz.
A Yindish, and two Goblin Snipers.
Yeah, we did get like four. Was there at least four Goblin Snipers, right?
Yes, yes. So I put together two. You're gonna get two. That was it. Enforcers, Steel Warriors, Yindish, Sorak, and two Goblin Snipers. So I glued them together, posed them, based them, did all that stuff. They're all primed black right now.
Not ready to paint yet. Well, once they're painted, we'll show those ones off.
I'm just waiting. Pat needs to get another hangout together where we just, you know, catch up, shoot the breeze, and
or Dead Zone Monthly too. We've all of us have been so busy.
Or Dead Zone Monthly, yes, where we can all for your entertainment. You can get on there with us and ask questions, and we will answer them to the best of our abilities.
Yep. So that's the time Jack gets actually stuff done.
Well, I've been prolific. I have done a lot. When you see the terrain, the pictures of the terrain, you'll go, oh, that looks like quite a bit of work. And the miniatures now, like the figures that I've got primed, it's just I'm waiting for that time when just kick back, chat with my homies, get to get real with my peeps, and just put some paint on some plastic.
Yep. And I painted up some of the zombies. Speaking of zombies, I had a single sprue of zombies, 5 zombies, painted them up. They're all painted. I try to make them look like they're like a kind of like a research mining kind of team that are on some desolate world that got plagued up. And I went for a grayish color because I think zombies, you know, I like the gray. So they're all gray zombies.
And they look like they're like one team. Like they're painted in such a way that looks like it's a, like they're from either a specific company or something like that.
Yeah, I tried to keep them unified. And I do like the orange. I find that very industrial. So, and I went with the green, orange and green. So, yeah, they turned out pretty good. I like the zombies. They're fun.
They are fun. They're fun to build, and they're pretty forgiving.
Yeah, I just slapped a lot of wash on them, lots of blood.
We've got a ton of them, so... Like, even if you're like, okay, I'm not happy, like, they're not the table quality, but they're not showpieces.
Yeah.
Well, once you put them in
more,
with,
yeah.
You put them in with 60 other ones, like, it doesn't.
Yeah, they'll fit in fine. And the bases are secret weapon bases, because I have tons of secret weapon bases, so that's what those bases are.
I was going to ask, because it looked like maybe you had modeled them yourself, like.
Nope, good old secret weapon. I really literally have so much. I got one of their like crazy bags that they sell every once in a while, just random offshoots of stuff that's not quite perfect. And plus we had some from before, and yeah, we have so many bases. Jack makes his own. I just use secret weapon bases until I run out of them.
Well, you have never been disappointed by their bases, and you use them all the time. So
yeah, that's true. They have a nice variety. And, I don't think I've ever purchased a single base. They've always come in either crazy boxes or like, not crazy boxes. Bag of crap, I think they call them. It's just a bunch of stuff. But, yeah.
We reviewed some bases.
Early on, yep.
We of theirs that I really liked that had, like, a space tile. And there was one that had an Asian, like, a...
Zen Garden.
Zen Garden.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. I have nothing to use that Zen Garden one for. But that is my favorite base.
You did such a good job on that one. I didn't. You know what? I haven't painted mine of those because the ones you did were so good. I was like, I done.
Yeah, they turned out nice. It was like sand and bamboo.
I'm just gonna give them to you so that you can make more of the sweet, sweet eye candy that you had done originally.
I do have a couple of samurai that I got from. I think I did some Kickstarter that I got for terrain. And they came with extra models, and I got a couple samurai. So maybe I'll throw my samurai on that base. That'd make it cool. I have no use for them, but hey, it's samurai.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's an episode, Jack.
That is an episode.
So, as always, you can go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast. Lots of shirts there. We have lots of different designs. We have the Georgie shirt. It says, "What do I know?" on it, and a picture of Georgie the Goblin. I think it's a classic, and everybody should own it. We have the team building exercise shirts. We have the No Goblin shirts. We have our regular logo. We have our old logo. I think we even have Vinland Old Time Radio up there. Maybe. I can't remember if I put them up there or not. But either way, go there. Buy a shirt, because they're cool.
Cover your nipples, for God's sakes. All of you, just clothe yourselves. Adorn yourselves with our shirts. Not only is it the thing to do to be cool at school, but it's hygienic.
It'll get you the chicks.
It'll get you the chicks, and if you're baking some if you're cooking some bacon, it'll protect your sensitive areas.
And you also go to falleninfantry.wordpress.com. We do unboxings. Hopefully pretty soon Warpath will be on there. It's now October. They said October. Maybe not this soon in October, but let's hope it happens soon.
I even if it's November or something, you know, getting into the winter time, it's good enough. We just had Infestation. I wouldn't mind if it's a little.
I would. But anyways, until next time, this has been Dead Zone, the podcast. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And be safe out there. And
now I've got to go scoop some of my homemade bases into a envelope to send to some guy who stalked me online. How did I find myself into this predicament?
It's because you just say things. You're like, yeah, we'll give you stuff. And then people actually do it.
Yeah, serves me right.
It does serve you right. Keep your mouth shut. So anyways, if you can find Jack on the... No. Now, no. If you can show up at Jack's house and knock on his door, he will...
He's got candy all the time. You just go up and ask, and you know, some taffy.
Now the next episode will be like, I have some sad news. Jack was murdered in his home by a stalker. And, yeah, we're going on without him, but he'll be missed.
Yes. So yeah, we bring to close the Find Jack Online contest. There is a winner. A well-deserved envelope will be scampering its way through the mail to him with some nonsense in it.
Yep. So there you go. Just know that if we make a joke about a contest, we're serious. Only because we're legally bound to be serious.
Yes. Our lawyer has been very, very cross with us.
Yeah. It's not a good scene. Anyways, until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Thank you for listening to Dead Zone the Podcast. And now, a word from Captain Courage on Vinland Old Time Radio.
That's some fine writing from Vinland Old Time Radio. Counting the funnies on all my fingers.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.